this was this ridiculous idea in a lot of ways. You know, putting a piano in the van after losing most of my possessions and having to get rid of other possessions that I didn't actually was officially forced to lose. But, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep the apartment I had much longer. And I knew that the walls are closing in. I'm still, you know, I try to go to the Y every day. I try to do all these things to, like, be healthier to make up for, A, my bad habits, like smoking and riding are very connected for me. And I knew some people down here. I just had a feeling I'd be able to make music. But all that stuff changed. You know, a lot of things happened. I don't want to... Okay, I'm going to shut up. But yeah, you got some sense about things. So,
so what was the origin of the piano in the van?
Piano in the van was like... It's hard to say, like, the whole, like, train of thought about how I got there. Just losing everything and not wanting to lose the music. The van has got a bike in the back. There's a battery-powered mini amp. I got my trumpet, too, of course, because the trumpet's actually been a... luring people in, and it wins some people over, and, you know, I would love to be in a funk band with it. Another thing that I've done in the past, which is also part of the tour of the van, is I've written books. I wrote a Cliff Notes on a Shakespeare play, Twelfth Night.
You wrote the Cliff Notes on Twelfth Night?
Yeah. It's actually a very special Cliff Notes. It actually includes the play in it, too, and because I have a PhD in Shakespeare. And a lot of times I go like, well, this song's in the same realm as your request. So, would you like this one? It was like one Sinatra song I do, and it was like a hit in 66, and it's trying to be more rock and roll. It's like, you know, let's laugh! That's funny how it may seem. Some people get a kick stepping on a dream. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. See, I'm combining verses, but I'm back on top and back on top in June. It's like, I've been a poet, a pauper, a penguin. It's not a penguin, but... A pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. I know one thing. It's time I get knocked down on my face. I pick myself up and get back in the race. So that's life. Funny how it may seem. Yeah, something. Okay, so... your question, what is my day-to-day routine like? Okay, I'll say this about it right now. A lot of my daily routine is spending way too much time looking for a parking space at a place where people congregate, which is incredibly difficult. The disabled placard makes it slightly easier, but I really do believe in the long term, conceptually, in the idea of this piano van. Like, I one thing I've learned about a lot of things is I could see ways to make this work. If I wasn't, like, living in it for the time being, because when it's lonely, it's very lonely. So aside from being, you know, economically unfulfilling, even if I have every day at least one great encounter with somebody, and it's like a cathartic thing, you know, it's still like most of the time you're kind of waiting for somebody to walk by. Give me a second. Let's take a little break just so I can stand and stretch, and maybe I'm gonna have to piss in the bottle so I don't have to walk all the way over to the Y again. But I'll be with you in a second. I mean, hell, if you got the tape running, you got the piss bottle as part of the routine, right? You know. And I don't like it. I don't like that this is making me a dirty, filthy person. One of the reasons, and I remember saying this like in a really cocky way when I first came down here. I'm going to be the cleanest homeless person. But it's overwhelming to me. And I've tried that in a lot of ways, but, you know, I am so sensitive to the, you know, criticism of being the dirty fucking hippie, you know, and I'm not into it. I wasn't like, you know, even like stupid little things I overthink. Like Jeff wanted me to, we were playing Kink songs, and I used to always love to play a Kink song called I'm Not Like Everybody Else. Well, right now, I don't want to play that song. because people will think I'm bragging about my situation, and I'm not really bragging about it. I'm trying to sell it, so I don't want to be ashamed about it. I do have a lot of shame in my life right now, and that was it.
Plane goes by.
Might be a helicopter. Helicopter is just a wounded plane. You read somewhere that people need at least 4 hugs a day, so I guess we owe each other 68. No, it's bad to just want touch, but maybe we both want too much. Like good is wrong if it's not always great. My friends tell me a drama queen ain't worth it. Come to think of it, we're all drama men. And the mountains we are climbing, mapping more hills. If we break up just to make up once again. I was what they call ABD, all but dissertation. I had finished my coursework. I still had to write the dissertation, so I moved to New York in 96 to get back into that poetry scene. And I was writing essays on Shakespeare. I was also writing essays on like a lot of language poets like Carla Harriman, and writing a lot of reviews and trying to adjust to the New York poetry scene where, you know, I was really, really pretty hot in 96, 97. You know, I published an essay called Against Lineage that a lot of people thought was a really good essay by a, you know, guy in his early 30s. And I was teaching at the time at community colleges or various different schools in Brooklyn, even NYU, and started teaching creative writing at Rutgers. And then, you know, pretty much right as I got my PhD, I think it was December of 97, April of 98 is when we recorded American Water. So it was almost like, whoa, here I am, like, you know, feeling like I'm too ivory towered in Shakespeare and I don't even know how to talk to regular people anymore. Or I had my little poetry world, which I was huge in, but it was a very specialized thing. And that here I am now in this band that's more popular, and to me seemed hugely popular compared to, you know, I mean, I knew they were not as big as whoever was being pushed at the time, the Spice Girls or, you know, but whatever, Toad the Wet Sprocket or whoever the hell was around at that time, but it was, you know, certainly reaching more people than poets were. And so, like, because Silver Jews were, like, really into, like, sports, for instance. I lived in New York, I got really into the Jets. And I'm not going to say it's because of the Silver Jews, because they didn't like the Jets that much, you know. And it gave me a common language. I could talk to people that I hadn't talked to before. And one of the things that Shakespeare is able to do is, like, speak both high and low. And I felt like in my long-term career as a writer, I need to speak low. I'm not saying it, I blame it for leading me into like living as a homeless person in a van now with this useless, sophisticated knowledge that you know, none of the people in that office space give a shit about, or most, you know. And certainly, I don't really regret that. And it did actually, in a weird kind of way, bring me closer to my dad. You know, my dad, that's one of the issues I had with my dad for years, was like my mom wanted me to, you know, my mom wanted to watch Masterpiece Theater, my dad wanted to watch sports, and I sided with my mom. That was what, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and then the poet Charles Bernstein would call a girly man, and proud of it, damn it. You know, a mama's boy. If you were Snow White and I was one of the 7 dwarfs, you know just what I would do. I'd give you more one night a week than the others 2 and 6, 'cause I'm more into baseball than to you. I forgot the things that made you love me. I forgot the things that made you want to hold my hand. I forgot the things that made you love me. And if you give me a chance, I'll forget them again. Basically, I felt my career was still rising pretty much until early 2004. And my girlfriend finally moved out like in 2003. And within 4 months of her moving out is when I had my accident. And it changed everything. April 7, 2004. I'm riding my bike to Golden Gate Park. I'm coming down a giant, giant hill on Haight Street. And I'm looking, and I see a car. And I'm getting closer and closer, and the car's still, like, just hanging out there in the middle of the intersection, like being a bonehead, being this absolutely stupid bonehead. And I am starting to go behind her to get out of her way because she's in the middle of the intersection. She decides to back up. So I hit the car. I totally tumble. I totally hurt. I mean, my head hurts. This hurts. But my leg is just really screwed up. It's twisted. I cannot move. And the bike is somewhat ruined, but not as ruined as me. And I'm laying there on the ground. And my whole life, that's when it all, you know, that's when you'd fill in with, like, how everything spiraled down. Laying in bed on Vicodin after my accident, I got this letter from the dean, who I thought was supportive of me, but in her letter to the rank and tenure committee, she had said this statement, which is like is burned in my brain. Stroffolino is brilliant, even magical, in the classroom. Which, great, thank you. That's something I'm really proud of you saying. Wait for the other shoe to drop. But he lacks a sense of personal grounding. Now,
What does that mean? What did that mean to you at the time?
That's what I've been trying to figure out for the last 8 years. I mean, I have a lot of theories about what it means. I think on some levels, it's true. It's true. I'm not like an essentialist. And I was ambitious. I always saw myself as in relationship to other people. You know, and so much of my poetry and my literary career was based on the idea of using my writing in one way or another to seduce people. And I think I got more panicky and desperate and just started scaring more people away that I used to be able to seduce. I've gone through this so many times in my mind, and I need to move on and think about, you know, what can I do with what I got, and, you know, basically, take your personal responsibility and say, how did I destroy my life? Not only how did I destroy my life, you know, don't cry over spilled milk, but what can I do to, you know, to create more milk? You know, so I don't have to worry about the spilled milk. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth has present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty. Then come kiss me, sweet 25, 35, 45. Use the stuff that will not endure, and I retrofit my fault line for you. Oh, it's high time we learned to come together. If I wanna love somebody, that I don't hold back. We could be lovers for life and really